Think that worked. Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is August, the end of August 2023, and this is our Hoops HD August podcast with a pretty full panel of Hoops HD experts here. I'm your host in the center, in the top center square here, Chad Sherwood, joined up top with John Titel and David Griggs. Down below me, Joby Fortson, to his sides, David Dorman, Mike Chaback with us again, and we're doing something. I don't know. What the heck are we doing here, Griggs?
Well, it's not a topic that I ever wanted to talk about, but it's essentially conference realignment, or is it just reshuffling in general?
Well, yeah, that's where we wanted to go tonight. You know, I think sometime in the middle or somewhere last season, we actually did a show about realignment, and anyone that's unless you've been living under the rock has heard that even what we discussed back then is completely blown up, and you know, I'll pull up the full panel view here again for a second. You know, just a few months ago, we had two Pac-12 guys on this group here with Dorman and Titel, both being Arizona alums. They're both Big 12 guys now, or at least will be a little less than a year from now.
Rocco's going to be a Big 10 guy.
Good friend Rocco Miller, Washington grad. He's going to become a Big 10 guy.
Brian Black, a Big 10 guy too, Oregon.
Oh, jeez. But let's start right there with the blow up and the death of the Pac-12, and then we'll go to some of the other conference moves as well. But Titel, let me start with you, being one of the Arizona guys here. What's it like finding out that your school is no longer a Pac-10, Pac-12 team that it was your entire life, pretty much?
Disappointing in a word, Chad. I mean, I grew up like seeing us play these great rivalries. Like Stanford had a number one in the nation basketball team. UCLA had a number one in the nation basketball team, and so did we. And we would beat the hell out of each other, and it was great. And like now it's less great. I mean, it's cool to face teams like Kansas and Baylor, don't get me wrong. So I'm not necessarily worried about the level of competition. It's just as a old stubborn fogey who's used to his tradition and his history, it was a slap in the face, frankly, to this new generation. But as everybody knows, like money rules the world and money rules college athletics. And I'm sad it happened, but I understand why it happened. And I can either whine about it and live in the past, or I can embrace it and go ahead to the future. So bring on the Big 12, Jeff.
Yeah, and as far as how it happened, obviously we know that USC and UCLA about a year ago announced that's effective next year. They're going to be moving over to the Big 10. There are 10 remaining teams. Dorman could not get a media deal that was anything other than pretty much a total joke. And Colorado built it for the Big 12.
Apple.
Very shortly thereafter, Arizona State and Utah joined with the bolt to the Big 12. And, of course, Washington and Oregon bolted for the Big 10, and that's it.
That's how it's going to look like. Correct, Chad. The problem I have with this, basically, is this is fine for football. This works for football. When you have football, you have 12 games a year. Most of the country plays 6 at home, 6 on the road. So you're talking about 6 travel situations. If the kids have to miss school on Friday 6 times, you miss school 6 days of school. I think the teachers can live with that. The students can work with that. The coaches are fine with that. What we have a prop, and that's why I say this is fine for football. They should be on their own. They should have a separate situation or conferences for football, basketball, volleyball, baseball. All the other sports should be regionalized. And I'm not crazy. I don't think we're going old to the back ways and, you know, how the conferences used to be. But they have to be in the areas of the country that are different for travel. And I say that because let's just take some of the spring sports, baseball for the men, softball for the women. So UCLA is going to travel for a Wednesday game, let's just say to Northwestern in March. So they're going to go a Wednesday game and they're going to travel Tuesday. And this is March 15th. And I'm not making a joke. It might snow in Chicago and Northwestern in March 15th. Then 50-50, the game gets played. They go home. Okay, the next week they got to go out to Happy Valley to Penn State to play a game. The travel is ridiculous for all these sports except football. The other sports need to regionalize the conferences and make this work for the other sports. This was a total football play.
Yeah, we got UCF and Utah in the same conference now, the Big 12, with Arizona and Arizona State and West Virginia. Right. And Griggs, you know, you had a comment on all this.
Well, I think David made a really good point. As far as why this is happening, we all know. But why is it? It's not the first time that a major conference has folded. The Southwest Conference was it around for 80 years, 90 years, whatever it was, and it kind of got swallowed up into the Big 12. So
the
it's
Big
not,
12 again. The Big 12 yeah. is the conference eater, isn't it?
Right. I would say that the birth of the Big 10 network is, and I don't think anybody realized it at the time, they're getting, is it 59 cents a month for every subscriber that has it? And if it's on a basic tier, even if a person is not turning it on but once a year, if that, they're still getting 59 cents a month. So that explains why they wanted Los Angeles, why they wanted New York when they started to look at Rutgers, and why they've expanded into the markets that they have and invited the schools that they did. I don't think anybody realized this at the time. I sure didn't, but the first telecast of the Big Ten Network ever, like a football telecast, was the big upset of Appalachian State over Michigan. And didn't the switchboards at DirecTV basically get blown out because everybody was calling and ordering the network? They made all this money over that one weekend from all these new subscribers. And I think that was for the first time that conference executives and schools started to think, look at that.
Glad Michigan could help.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, you're the Michigan guy. He just called you out there a little bit on one of your painful memories, I think.
I mean, if we don't have these conference networks, and
you
if
do
we
have
don't,
a good point, though, seriously.
Yeah. Are they, like, does the Big Ten even consider going in to, you know, Los Angeles, or do they even consider adding Nebraska, much less going all the way out to Los Angeles? If you want to know why it's happening, yeah, money is the reason, but I think that a lot of these conference networks and the distribution deals they have with the carriers are what's leading to this. Now, I want to echo something that David said, is that this could potentially work for football. Football is a very unique sport as far as...
And they get charter flights, they get the best treatment.
Yeah.
The other sports, they have to fly commercial. I mean, and they're going to have to fly three time zones away on a commercial flight.
I don't know if the Big Ten flies commercial. Well, maybe the non-revenue sports do, but
that's what I'm saying. Non-revenue will fly commercial. That they're going to get shafted.
Right. And, like, you know, when you look at football, you look at the length of the season, the roster size, the fact that it is such a high-revenue sport, the facilities, the support staff – Like it is unlike any other sport. Like, men's basketball is a revenue sport, but that is where the similarities with football end. Men's basketball, and I'm not saying this to be funny, has more in common with women's field hockey in terms of resources, schedule, length of season, number of competitions, roster size, than it does with football. And what is driving the bus as far as for most of the realignment is the one sport that is so drastically different from all of the rest. Anyway, David already said that, but I wanted to say.
Yeah, well, you've used up all your time for the show anyhow. Yeah. Here, so let's go over to Joby. I know you got a comment.
Yeah, no. And Griggs, and this might not be said over and over again, but Griggs, excellent point on the cable network with Big Ten Network. That is actually a huge component here. It's a big component with the SEC. It's also a big component with the ACC. However, and this is a big however, that we are living in the moment. But right now, we are seeing the biggest shift in the dynamics of television since cable in the late 1970s, early 1980s, in terms of viewership. Cable TV, for the first time ever, has now been passed by streaming in eyeballs. And that happened in April, the flip from streaming ahead of cable in terms of content viewership. That now is a 7% delta. It's gone up 3.5% in just 4 months. This is not a change that is going to happen over time. This is a change, a real life happening change. And that's going to change the very economics that Griggs laid out in a very excellent fashion on cable subscribers. And so the attractive teams right now are. Give me that LA market. Give me that Seattle market. Give me all these markets so that I can have it for the Big Ten revenue. 5 to 10 years from now, it will be who can grab me eyeballs, regardless of where they are located. Yeah. Hey, Notre Dame's still going to be the most valuable property out there, regardless of when that happens, one way or another, for there. But they will be even more valuable. Will all of a sudden a Washington team that, who knows, this year they're supposed to be good, but in football, but let's say they turn mediocre, like a lot of teams like Nebraska, et cetera, turn mediocre when they go to the Big Ten. Washington's value is right now. This was the time to strike if you're Washington, because it may be a very different economic world in terms of media consumption and content where, hey, you need that big deal with Amazon. You need that big deal with Apple. You need that big deal with YouTube in order to bolster, because let's face it, the ESPN networks and the Fox networks don't have the money that they once did.
And that's the big thing, Joe. It's actually because of the streaming that the Pac-12 could not get that ESPN or Fox deal to match what the other conferences are doing, because these networks know now that, hey, the money's not there. It's turning towards streaming. Yet I don't think the streaming is quite ready to invest that type of money into the sports either, because they were looking at some type of streaming deal, is my understanding as well. And I don't think Amazon is ready to put ESPN, SEC type of numbers into college sports yet.
We're going to see. This is why the Thursday night football deal for Amazon is so big for the marketplace, because they will see if they do. They've put up pretty good numbers for Thursday night football in it, but that's the NFL. And the MLS with Messi is making a huge stake in Apple. But you're exactly right, Chad. There is a wait and see, and we will see if the total amount towards sports continues.
Let me bring Mike in here first, actually, though. But Mike, you just made a comment in our chat. I think maybe it's an interesting piece here about how good it is for these four Pac-12 teams that are moving over to the Big Ten.
A comment on the Pac-12 teams moving to the Big Ten?
Yeah, that they're going to be receiving more revenue
That comment. Yeah, because the Big Ten, right now, the Big Ten contract runs until 29-30 school year. And because Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA are joining in the middle, they're only going to get partial revenue instead of the full revenue. Now, once they renegotiate in 2030 or whatever, then they will get the full revenue. But they're saying that – I heard that those Pac-12 teams, they're going to get more money from the Big Ten as partial revenue teams than they would have from the Pac-12 as full revenue.
Yeah.
And that really speaks to the poor leadership of the Pac-12. How really they really bungled this up, Larry Scott especially.
Larry Scott, but then there was no coming back from it. Sorry, Dorman and then Griggs. Yeah,
no, I agree with Mike. Sorry.
Yeah.
Larry Scott started this disaster. He got greedy with the conference, with the DirecTV package. He was holding out for like a couple more million, and he thought he would like stronghold DirecTV, and DirecTV never budged, and he never got that deal. That was the beginning of the destruction of the conference. Sorry, Griggs.
No, I was going to kind of make that point too, because the Pac-12 was a power conference, and while we're seeing some like the Big Ten and ACC and SEC blow up, is there a guarantee that like the intrigue will be there? To echo what John Tytel said at the start of the show, the Pac-12 and the Pac-10, and I guess the Pac-8 before that, have a long, rich 100-year tradition of recognizable regional rivalries that appeal to those fan bases. I think people that like us and that work in college athletics and that are diehard fans don't realize that that's not 75% or 80% of the sports watching market. Hate to break it to you guys, but we're kind of in the minority here. Now, one of the questions, Arizona versus Cincinnati, like we're all going to watch that game, but is your girlfriend's roommate going to watch that game? Like how many of the 80% of Arizona fans are going to watch that game? Thank you for the sound effect there, Chad. Like they want to see them play Stanford and UCLA.
But yeah, and you know what? I think that kind of leads into another question I have here, Tytel. especially from a basketball standpoint, because we are a basketball website. Of can these conferences that are so huge now, 20-team conferences, can they? Do you think these conferences can really stand up? I mean, can they? Isn't it just going to become, hey, you're going to play. Only play 2/3 of your conference even during the regular season, and there's no real rivalries, and then you play a conference tournament. It's more of a, is it almost more of a scheduling organization than a conference anymore? Even
it's a scheduling nightmare, Chad. I tried to create, well, first of all, for the conference tournament purposes, I tried to create like an 18 team bracket, and like my head was hurting because like I ran out of lines. It's just there's too many freaking teams.
I hope there's a cut down to 12 or 16 or something when that conference said like they leave a few teams out, but go ahead.
But if you have an 18 to 20 team conference, like by definition, as Chad said, you cannot play everybody twice. You'll be lucky if you can play everybody once. And like I can assure you that like I'm sure some of you might care about Arizona and Cincinnati. Like I want to see us play ASU twice a year. And I so does everybody in my in the state of Arizona. I don't know how it's going to work in terms of like, do we play 8 teams twice a year and the other 8 teams once a year? But that math doesn't work. Like, it doesn't help to go to the Big 12 and then like I only play Baylor every like 6 years or something. Like that almost defeats the purpose. So there's definitely, it is a nightmare. I don't have a way to solve it.
And Dorman, is there a chance that this whole thing falls apart because of the size of the conference, and that much like the Big East did, that you see us, 10 years, 15 years ago, that you see a split up?
I don't think so. I just think the money in these big conferences, the SEC, the Big Ten, they probably can sustain it, because like the Big Ten, if you see these network there, the Big Ten is working with, just this fall, NBC has a Saturday night package. ESPN is on this. CBS is in on the Big Ten. They just have so many networks, the Big Ten and the SEC. I think they can sustain it definitely in football. And that's where the money is coming in. So what'll be interesting is how the basketball and the bids will the Pac-12 still receive a bid in a couple of years after everything is settled, like where the automatic bids fall will be very interesting. But to answer your question, Chad, I think the Big Ten and the SEC and the Big 12, they're just big enough, and there's so much money in these football deals, they probably can stay.
Yeah. To answer that question, you need 7 full non-transitional members for an automatic qualifier.
Yeah, the Pac-12, right now,
Pac-12 would not have one.
Yeah, they would not at 4 teams. But Joby, we have those 3 conferences you just mentioned. There is the 4th power conference, of which you're a guy for the ACC, that so far has not actually made any moves with everything else that's going on. But now we had heard shortly after the Big Ten teams left that there was an idea of Stanford and Cal to the ACC. It got blown up pretty quickly. But now just recently, in the last 24 hours, 48 hours, it's kind of back in play again.
All it takes is for 4 members to vote it down. Florida State is outspoken as voting it down. I mean, Florida State has while Florida State has been kind of the loudmouth at the table because they want out. They want to join the SEC. The question is, does the SEC want them?
And it's going to cost them a ton of money to get out of the grant of rights.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if they litigate, it's going to cost a ton of money.
They wouldn't mind.
They've courted the Big Ten too.
They wouldn't mind to blow up the whole thing. The interesting ones are the ones who are quiet in voting no. As of right now, the no votes are Florida State, who's loud about, Clemson, who has a similar point of view, North Carolina. And the original no vote was Virginia, by all reports. Some are saying NC State, but I'm pretty confident it was Virginia. Virginia, and to a lesser extent, North Carolina, might be wavering because Stanford, along with Cal and SMU, if that were to be believed, actually do bring in more money. It's a modest increase, but they do bring in more money, particularly since these teams have said, we will forego our shares. SMU has said they'll forego their shares for 7 years. Stanford and Cal have said we'll take 25% for a certain time. I don't know where this will land up. But the reason the ACC hasn't broken up is not because of money, that of the existing contracts, and that teams feel nice and safe. The reason it hasn't is because of the grant of rights that I've talked about before. If you leave, if you're Florida State and you get an invite from the SEC and you leave, the ACC owns your rights. That means you play Alabama on whatever, you know, on the
ACC ESPN network,
Saturday network, you know, on the ESPN Saturday night game. That goes to the ESPN ACC package. And so all of a sudden that money flows to the ACC. It's worth, by some estimates, $300 to $400 million. And so teams aren't going to just go. They can't until at least, and this grant of rights runs through 2034. This is, you know.
And what Joe be interesting is they, all these teams voluntarily signed on to this because they were, when they signed, they said, well, like, we're going to show that we're never going to break up.
Exactly. And now they're kicking themselves. Nothing right now, it's just not worth the break for grant of rights, even for a legal fight. As we get closer to 2034, at some point, some team is going to leave and the floodgates will open and the ACC will look like the Pac-12. I predict the ACC will look like the Pac-12 right now. And so I think this is what cynics have said, but I agree with those cynics. Starting around when the ACC breaks up, that will be the key. And this, we will see a full separate two conferences, so to speak, of the SEC and the Big Ten. The SEC and the Big Ten will grab the pieces they want, you know, and be honest, they don't really want a lot of what's left in the Big 12. And so it'll be mainly the ACC, and they will grab those teams and we'll have a two, they'll create new rules for football, and football might separate out. And so then the question is, what happens to the other sports? I don't know, specifically men's basketball, which is what we all care about. I don't know, but it's heading, but football is going to drive the train on this. And I think you're going to see, to use the professional football leagues, you're going to see an AFC and an NFC, which is really the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah, Mike, I almost would have rather seen, and it's too late to put this back in the bottle, but why didn't some of these teams just do football-only moves and we could have kept these traditional, kept the Pac-12 for all the other sports and let USC and UCLA go play Big Ten football? But we didn't get there.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's football that drives the buzz, and it's football that's the reason for these basically super conferences. I mean, and it's the non-revenue teams that they're going to get screwed. I totally agree. And basketball, there's going to be all kinds of logistics. Do you rotate the conference tournament? I mean, does the Big Ten tournament, do they play in Los Angeles once, you know, every 3 years or something? You know, where are you going to play? I mean,
yeah, Vegas.
Put the Big 12 tournament in Arizona 1 year and in Orlando the next. For those of you that aren't aware, UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, all in the Big 12 this year, and before the four Pac-12 teams come in next year. And Dorman, we've only briefly mentioned them, I think, just in passing. Again, kind of the football discussion, but the Notre Dame thing is another huge thing. If they are still independent in football, everyone wants them in their conference, but right now, they're happy being an independent because they're making more money.
Right. They don't have to share. Yeah. They don't have to share.
It's a huge piece to this puzzle. And I think they have succeeded so far being an independent in football and putting their other sports in the ACC. I think they want to see how this plays out. They always believe they will be the best and they'll always be wanted the most. I feel they're going to sit back and see how this plays out for a few more years and then decide if they even want to go to a conference. I think they're very comfortable where they are. I think they stay pat. But you're right, Chad. This is a huge piece to this puzzle because any conference would be loving to have Notre Dame for their football package and their football rights. The revenue just is enormous for Notre Dame football.
Yeah, and Tytel, let's take this thing to the awful end place where Joby was bringing us, where we're down to two conferences. You know, and in football especially, could this be the end of the NCAA? Could we be losing these 32 conferences and all these little things that you end up with, you know, a smaller NCAA that is made up of the Northeast and the SWAC and the MEAC and those things. But all these, you know, these top 50, 70 schools are all off being their own thing here.
Football, possible. Basketball, I would say, if you look at the bracket from last March, we had a little team from the Mountain West called San Diego State. We had a little team from the then CUSA called FAU, and like they met.
But don't they want to get rid of them? Wouldn't the SEC, these power teams rather say, let's just do our own tournament because nobody's going to watch at FAU, where FAU and San Diego State are your best teams.
But they did.
If you told me before last year, I would have said I wouldn't want to watch the Owls and the Aztecs. But I'm telling you, now they are national powers, regardless of their conference. Do I want to see them playing football? Absolutely not. Would I pay to see them play basketball? Absolutely.
And I wouldn't want to see Connecticut playing football either. Let's just be
Connecticut plays football. Zach. What?
Yeah.
I mean, and Griggs, you know, especially you and I being among others being under the radar guys, fans of these smaller conferences, and just seeing, you know, and the basketball end of things. Yeah, how bad is this going to end up hurting or not hurt the smaller conferences?
I don't know. I don't know what the end result of this is. I part of me thinks will these conferences end up splitting up? The last time we had a big bloated conference, when the WAC was out to 16, it didn't last very long. The Big East, while it only had 8 football members, it bloated out to 16 and it didn't last very long. I mean, when you get up to 16, 18, and 20, do you get factions within that 20 to where it's not one big conference, but you, politically speaking, do the California schools do battle with the Midwestern schools who do battle with the East Coast schools, and do they finally get to a point in the near future where they're like, well, screw it, we're just going to go our own way and form our own regional conference? Or does it go to what Joby forecasted, to where it's as big as the AFC and the NFC, and you might have 15 years in football between schools in the same conference even playing each other?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. The under the radar schools, I just don't, I don't know what the trickle down is going to be, but I think they're just going to kind of continue to be what they are anyway. Well, because
there has been a bit of a trickle up, though. I mean, teams like a UCF and you know, getting it up into the Big 12. Kind of like, you know, and the follow up of that, schools like this year, Charlotte, Florida Atlantic, we just mentioned, North Texas, UAB, Texas San Antonio, moving into the American. Well, meanwhile, you're seeing teams like Jacksonville State, Liberty, Kennesaw, New Mexico State, Sam Houston, moving into Conference USA. Each one kind of take that little baby step up behind them as you fill in these conferences. And then somebody's got to fill in the spots that they left, and you end up with, you know, teams moving up from D2 and the like.
Right. But I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if you are right. There has been some trickle up, and there's certainly been reshuffling at the under the radar schools as well. But as far as, will it still feel like under the radar, and will they still have the piece of the pie that they have? I think they will. But I don't know that for sure. Maybe they won't. Maybe these schools do leave the NCAA, not just in football, but all together, and say, we're our own organization now.
Well, where we are with the Pac-12, Tytel, if Stanford and Cal do so far farther away in the ACC, it does still leave a pair of schools that not many people even realize are Pac-12 schools sometimes, in Oregon State and Washington State. Any idea what happens to the two of them?
They either pray for the Mountain West or Big West to come to the Pacific Northwest, or they head elsewhere for 50 cents on the dollar if they can get that. They really left. The music has stopped, and they don't have a chair to sit on. And, like, I feel terrible for them, especially for the state school aspect, in terms of, like, when there was first talk about Arizona leaving, I couldn't imagine, like, ASU not coming with us, because they're peanut butter and jelly, and like they go together, and they can't, I can't envision a universe without the two of them. I don't know if the Ducks and the Beavers and the Cougars and the Huskies can all get on the same page. It would be sad if they can't, but even if it's a non-conference thing where they only play occasionally, like, I think that's better than nothing, just because it's the biggest. There's a reason they call it the Civil War, Chad.
Yeah, well, you know what, Joby, mm-hmm. I remember
Apple cut.
Yeah,
I remember when A&M went to the SEC. I think you had made a comment in one of our podcasts shortly before. Said there's no way Texas and Texas A&M will ever be in separate conferences. Now Texas is finally following them, and they're going to be in the same conference again. But they
Utah BYU reunited the Holy War. The Utah yeah. BYU.
Yeah.
And that became a very interesting political dynamic. One of the reasons why, I mean, all of this, very often politics becomes a huge part of, you got to include X, you got to include Y, you know, et cetera. And so in that case, you happen to have a Texas A&M governor and no strength at the University of Texas to be able to block it. And so A&M was able to leave. If it had been a Longhorn governor, A&M could not have left. It's very similar to what happened in the state of Virginia. Virginia, really, if you ask most Virginia fans, they wouldn't have minded Virginia Tech to die on the vine. To be very blunt. I mean, you know, that Virginia and Virginia Tech were never in the same conference. You know, Virginia, yeah, you know, et cetera. It wasn't like an Arizona State situation. There's a rivalry football you play every year, et cetera. But it's like, yeah, now it's, I'd say they're locked at the hip. Mark Warner basically stepped and said, no, you're taking them or we will cut off your funding. And that was right. What's funny is Virginia is the lowest funded from general appropriations of any university in the country. If I'm Virginia, they were getting at the time 9% of their revenues from appropriations. I would have told them to go jump in a lake and, you know, and risk what happens, but you know, that's just me.
Right now, I feel like Oregon State and Washington State are orphans.
Yeah, well, they kind of are. And, you know, they have said for now that Bedlam, which is just an absolute gem mm-hmm. of a college rivalry, will not continue in any sports and for the foreseeable future. And I know that, like, the running joke, I could never even imagine once upon a time until it happened that Kansas and Missouri would not be in the same league. And
you're going to get around to that. I knew it.
But they don't. And now Bedlam. I can't believe that they're not going to play. Wow. And my thing is, getting back to the 80% comment, like, the people that aren't diehards that watch and enjoy sports but not obsessively like we do, they want those games. And I think the fact that that when those go away, it hurts the sport.
It does. I guess on that note, though, we've gone about 40 minutes here, so let me throw it out to each of you here for any other thoughts or any other comments about this entire realignment craziness that we have here. And, you know, obviously, I think a lot of it is, as Joey mentioned, we got to see what plays out over the next maybe take 5 more years or maybe take 10 more years with the ACC, but we're going to keep going here. But Dorman, let me start with you.
This was all the talk and all the rage and conference movement realignment over the summer. But starting this weekend in football and come November, the beginning of November, it'll be all about the games and the matchups. And we'll start talking about conference bids and we'll start talking about seeding. And we'll get down to the teams and the games and the coaches and the matchups. And that's what I love most about it. You know, let's just make sure we don't totally ruin this by, you know, people getting greedy with crazy amounts of money and stuff. But I thought it was good. The kids got a piece with the NIL money. And I think that's a good way to be on for college athletics. And let's just make sure the games are played and let's, you know, keep on enjoying the games. The conferences are going to screw things up. But eventually, November will come, and we'll have great basketball.
I can't agree with that more. Mike, you have thoughts?
Yeah, this coming season, I'm going to enjoy it as much as I can because this is going to be the last season where, to me, it's like it's, you know, at least it's some resemblance of sanity still there where, you know, UCLA and USC are in the Pac-12 where, you know, geographically they should be. I mean, just, you know, next year is just, you know, you're just not going to – it's going to be hard to recognize – you know, college athletics as we know it over the years. So I think we've touched upon the different subjects. I mean, the money and what about non-revenue sports and what about, You know, football is okay because you only play once a week and you get, they have the top notch facilities. They'll be treated well. They'll be treated like kings, but it's the non-revenue. It just seems like it's always the little guy that loses, that ends up losing. But I think my original point is that I'm just going to enjoy this coming season as much as I can, because this is the last year where, you know, it's going to be played in the form that we recognize and love.
Oh, there'll be one less automatic bid, one more at-large bid coming 2 years from now, at least Tytel, one less conference. But Tytel, any other thoughts?
So I'm looking back to the real-life implications. If you look back at last spring's bracket, there was in the West region out in Vegas, well, in the West region in Sacramento, a second-round game, Northwestern and UCLA. Little did we know that now it's going to be like a recurring theme, so it doesn't get that special to have it in March, because we've already seen it every single Big Ten season to come. And the funniest to me is the Midwest region, where the top two seeds were Houston and Texas. So imagine the real scenario that last year these teams were in different conferences. This year they're in the same conference. The next year they're in different conferences. Like, yeah. I can't keep up with it, Chad.
A little bit of stability would be nice,
it's
too.
It's more difficult to bracket with the conference bracketing, with the conference separation.
Yeah, you wonder if they may start writing rules again to deal with that.
Joby.
Yeah, I pretty much had my say on the expansion stuff. I wanted to bring out, hopefully not too somber a note, one of the regular contributors to Hoops HD, John Stalica. He had a passing in his family, and I want all of our listeners out there, as well as those in the panel I already know because they've given their prayers, wish him well in what is a very difficult time. And it's really top of mind for me whenever I think about Hoops HD. And sorry to bring folks down, but I thought it was important to recognize the great contributions I know John's family has given to him over the years.
Yeah, and all our thoughts and all
Amen.
Our thoughts with
we
John
love you, John.
John and all his family. And I'm sure John, we'll have John back on probably next month with our next podcast. And but let's finish the show off here for the month and move on towards September. Griggs, do you want to finish stuff off with any final comments?
Yeah, I'm going to need the screen share here, Chad. Okay. I think that things are kind of getting out of control the way it is, the way that realignment's going. So I think I know what we need to do. We need to have a jubilee, which is going back to what it was 50 years ago. Oh, yes. Look at this. Look at this. So this is what I think should happen in 2025. We're going back to 1975. We've got the Big Eight with Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri. How about this? The East Coast Conference back in action. How about the ACAC? We've got Rutgers, Boston College, Georgetown, Syracuse. The Ivy League is exactly the same. They never change. The Pac-8.
Pac-8.
All right, look at this. And then there's something called the Pac, whatever that, I've never heard of that.
That's the Big West. They end up renaming
okay,
themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got the Yankee Conference. UMass is back there. We got Arizona State in the WAC. This is what we need to go back to.
What conference was Penn State in back then?
They were an independent or an ECAC member, yes.
I don't know. I wish Stalica was here, because if anybody knows all about the ECAC from 1975, it's him.
Okay. On that note, I don't know where we went. Okay. We're going to have a jubilee, whatever that means.
Yeah.
I do want to, at this point, though, thank everyone for joining us. We'll be back again sometime in September with our final off-season podcast. And come October, it'll be time for preseason stuff. So season's fast approaching. But on behalf of John Tytel, David Dorman up here, Mike Cha, Joby Fortson, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.